Welcome back to the Soda Pop Podcast. I'm Mark. My associate Laney is sick today, so she won't be able to make it. But today we have a really cool guest with us. We've got Parker Seward. He's from the art department. He's a assistant professor. How long have you been here at UNA?
This is my second year.
Ooh, that's fun. So today we're going to talk about the A Voice for All exhibit, which was... It went on last year as well. This year it opens on January 28th, and it closes on February 22nd. So go check it out when you can. It's in the University Gallery in the Art Building, if you don't know where that is. So first question, what is the A Voice for All exhibit?
So that exhibit was actually proposed to me by my department chair last year. Because he knew my research is based in graffiti and kind of cultural aspects of it. So we thought about displaying like graffiti-style art, and then that kind of evolved to why not just do it in the gallery, on the walls. So it's an exhibition that lets viewers and students appreciate the artistic qualities of graffiti by becoming a part of it, by, you know, participating themselves.
That's always fun. So you kind of answered what brought it about. So I guess we'll just go into our second question. So how do you think that this, you know, exhibit with students participating and also just going in and seeing all the, you know, artistic views on the gallery walls, how do you think that this changes the views of graffiti in the eyes of the students?
I think it changes their overall perception. I think a lot of times the word graffiti doesn't have a lot of association with art. There's just kind of some negative connotations. So by doing it in the gallery and letting them participate, it lets you kind of engage in a dialogue with the work. You know, look at the aesthetic qualities without worrying about things like, you know, legality and the surface that it's painted on, and really just kind of focus on the intent behind it. I think that it'll help them kind of see it in a new light because they're part of it. It's essentially like a 90-person collaboration. So rather than something that they just kind of dismiss walking down the street, I think it allows them to really see it in a new light, and I think that's pretty exciting.
That's actually, I like that. So you did a kind of like a tour with the Times Daily last year with this.
Yes.
And in that tour, you kind of went into how there's like two, basically there's different types of graffiti. There's like a cultural side behind it. Do you think that participating in this kind of helps students to kind of learn that cultural side behind it?
I do. Because I think people will know street art. You know, you have people like Banksy, right, all over the news all the time. But at its core, you know, graffiti was really born by people who just wanted to have a voice. People who were overlooked or marginalized communities. You know, these kind of disregarded neighborhoods and demographics. So I think by doing this, we really kind of show the cultural significance of it, but also how it's evolved. You know, people, regardless of background or societal status, all seem to kind of have this innate desire to express themselves. So the first year we did it, you know, some people painted things that were very, I don't know, personal to them, whether it be words or images. Some people painted, you know, kind of graphic illustrations. And then others just, they didn't really go in there with any idea, but just that they said it was almost a release, just being able to express themselves, you know, in that judgment-free zone. You know, it wasn't graded. There's no critics. It didn't have to be accepted into like a museum or a gallery. You know, it was just really honest and really came from inside. So I think it was a really new experience, and we got some really positive feedback, and like you mentioned, the Times did an article, which was great because that was just more exposure, and hopefully that continues to grow.
Yeah, I agree. I like the idea behind this. So you said that the students kind of, you know, let their feelings out and all that. Do you think that this is kind of like a good way to do that as like something to where they can just go and do it in like a every year in, like you said, a place where there's no critics, no, you know, basically no guidelines to what they have to do? Do you think that it's a good idea for them to participate in this every year? Or
Yeah, I do, because I think it'll continue to really push them as artists to get them out of their comfort zone, you know, work with new media in a new approach on a new surface, you know, if you're working on the actual walls of a space. And, you know, we slowly are having kind of an expansion of public art here in Florence and in the Shoals in general. So I think it'll help generate some interest in that too. I teach a public art class, which is focused on street art, but it's not just the history of it. We actually get out and you know, paint murals and do things like that. So I think slowly growing this will be really exciting. And yeah, just that exposure to something new is, you know, always good for a young developing artist.
So you're talking like street art and then like what's in this gallery. So I know we've got a couple places of where I guess it would be called street art in Florence, like over on East Mobile Street over by 116.
Yes.
What would you classify like the differences between these types of graffiti would be?
That's a good question. And there's a lot of gray area there. Typically graffiti is, it's letter based, you know, people have these aliases, you know, their tags. But it's meant to kind of be seen, be heard, but while maintaining a degree of, you know, anonymity. So people may see your name everywhere, and it's kind of this the artist's way of saying, look, I was here. But you don't know who that is. You don't know who to associate it with. And it's for the sake of, you know, creating art. And a lot of times it's just for other graffiti artists. They're not really concerned with people's reaction to it, or they're not looking for that approval. And a lot of times in street art, the difference is that there's usually a message. That's why you see a lot of stencils. A lot of it could be political, but they're usually looking for some sort of reaction, to the work. So they're looking to provoke some sort of response. But then, at the same time, you have the term street art being applied to legal graffiti. A lot of times graffiti kind of implies that it was done without permission. And then when it's done with permission, it kind of crosses over into street art. So there's a lot of gray area. There's not, you know, a solid definition, but I think people tend to bounce back and forth. One thing I've definitely found through you know, my experience just painting these murals, but then also talking to these artists, is street art. The term street art seems to be a bit more publicly acceptable. You know, you think of these big murals and stuff like you see on warehouses or silos. Or these mural festivals, and that kind of is what people associate with street art. So I think you hear that term used a lot just because it doesn't carry the same kind of negative connotation that graffiti does. So that's one of the things we're working to kind of counter. Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, while we're not saying you know, it's okay to go and just paint on whatever you want. At the same time, you know, graffiti doesn't have to be inherently bad. There is a very culturally honest approach that kind of lies at its core. So, again, I've said this is exciting a few times, but it's really nice that, you know, UNA in general, not just the department, but UNA, School of the Arts, and my department are all kind of accepting of this and open to promoting it. You know, that was really a nice surprise when we first started this last year.
Yeah. So, I've never known there's different types of graffiti. I've always, thought of it as just like the street art side. So how do you think people like me, like when we go and look at this exhibit, how do you think that it changes the views of this type of art form?
Well, I think, it allows you to kind of look at it as just that, as an art form. It removes the question of maybe, okay, I like this, but, why was it painted here? Or how do I feel about it being painted here, on this building or this train or something? It kind of removes that and allows you just to appreciate the artistic quality. Kind of think about, why did they paint what they paint? Could I paint that? If it was me, what would I paint? You mentioned before we started that you like to look at the paintings when you go to a gallery or something, a museum. So it allows it to be displayed as, as that art form, as a fine art. Hopefully elevate it into that status where, it really does belong, because a lot of these artists are very talented. So yeah. We want to give them that exposure.
Yeah, I really like that idea, because when you walk into a normal painting art gallery, you see everything's in a frame. It's all kind of like a formal setting type thing. When you walk into like an exhibit like this, it's literally just on the wall, and there's right next to each other. There's no white space or anything. So I really like the idea of that. And that kind of makes me question, like, for those who are used to, painting pieces for those formal galleries, do you think that, that they would have problems transitioning into this? Or do you think it'd be a good idea for them to transition and, try their, their work other places than just in a formal setting?
Yeah, I do. I think it'd be good, to push yourself, get out of that comfort zone. But it is, you're right, it is a tough, or let's say challenging, transition, because it's a new type of work, it's a new medium, using spray paint or inks, things that people don't really use for artistic purposes. Everyone's probably used spray paint to, paint a bike when you were young, or lawn furniture or something, but not really for this purpose. So yeah, it presents a new set of challenges, but also, some new exploration that can be really exciting. And I kind of like that, you're taking something, like street art, graffiti, something kind of raw, and kind of juxtaposing it in a gallery, and, something you think of as kind of high end and very formal, and you're kind of combining those two. I think that's always interesting when you do that.
I think it's very interesting. I know that there's this art form is up and coming in the last couple of years in Florence. But there's a lot of older people who live around here too. So when they come in and they see this exhibit, what do you see from them? Do they, are they open to the more cultural side, or they just still see it as, kind of like a, quote unquote vandalism thing?
Everyone who came last year seemed pretty open-minded. Whether it was due to the cultural side of it, or just appreciating it as another art form, everyone was pretty supportive. We had really positive reactions, not just from the community, but across campus, everyone from students to other departments, to administration, Dean Burkhalter and Dr. Alexander, our provost, all came through, and everyone was really supportive. And graffiti has very close ties to hip hop, so we try to schedule it so it coincides with Black History Month because it's such a strong part of that relationship. And it's just been all around a really positive experience.
That's really cool. So we talked before how this there's a cultural side of this, and there's a whole basically you can do there's a whole bunch of different styles. Because I know last year there was a painting that you know photography students did in there. It looked like an actual picture, which I thought was really cool. And then I saw some you know street style stuff in there. And then you know there was a person who basically just, you know, painted a poem on the wall. So mixing these styles, I think is a really good idea. And how do you feel about that? Because I know when I look at that, I think it's like a really beautiful thing. I don't know a whole lot about, you know, art, but I think it's just a beautiful thing to go in to a gallery like that and see all these different styles. And I'm just blown away, again, by that painting that looked exactly like a picture. So what do you think about it?
Well, I think that's one of the really nice things about it is all these different mediums and approaches. So that piece that looked like a photo, that actually was a photo. So they took a really high quality, like raw image file, and then broke it up in... just in Photoshop, I believe, and essentially printed it out on sheets of paper and then pasted it, like reassembled it. And as you saw, it was, I don't know, 15 by 15 feet or something. It was massive.
Pretty big.
So yeah, I think that's really cool. You have people doing, that's called wheat paste, where you essentially mix a wheat paste up and apply it like that or with wallpaper glue or something. Then yeah, you had people doing written word, poetry, and people painting with spray paint, with acrylics, with different inks. Our ceramics professor, Aaron Benson, did an installation with metal and clay on the wall. So I think it was really good because sometimes in our fields, we kind of get stuck thinking we have to, you know, stay within a certain path, whether it's painting or graffiti. You know, you're like, I'm going to use markers and spray paint or something, and that's it. And here we saw people using, you know, anything, any resources available. So it was really, I think, eye-opening for everyone, for me too. Like, I learned a lot. Students kind of really thought outside the box, so it was really cool to see.
So when I look at this exhibit, I kind of see kind of a message coming through. You know, that this graffiti is not just, you know, some random dude painting his name on a wall just to get, you know, noticed. It's like, it's an actual art form with meaning behind it, and not just that, you know, the vandalism. Do you think that, you know, other people see it like this, or is it, you know, just like me? Or
well, I think some people do see it the way you do, which, you know, we're very grateful for. And some people don't, which is okay, you know, and it's just because there's been a lack of exposure to it. So by doing things like that, we can hopefully change some people's minds. Like you said, it's you know, people who want to be heard, who want to have a voice. Just a little bit of the history of it, when it really got going, let's say in the 70s, even into the 80s on the subway trains in New York. A lot of the artists were painting their names on those trains because those trains went all throughout the city. And they'd go through, you know, the nicer or kind of rich neighborhoods where those people themselves wouldn't be welcome. But the trains could go through and, you know, get through these kind of invisible barriers. So that was a way for them to kind of gain access to the areas where people necessarily didn't want them without physically doing it. So it's always kind of had that core intention of, you know, just I'm here. I just want to be acknowledged the same as everybody else.
That's a really cool concept behind it. honestly, I think it's going to, you know, it's going to get a lot more exposure in the coming years because of exhibits like this. And I hope there's, you know, there's people who come in and see it and then decide to, you know, take that on somewhere else and bring it up. Because honestly, this side of it is really, it's amazing to me, and I love it. So, I mean, this is the second year that you've done it, and I think hopefully there'll be more people who come in and view it than there was last year. Mm-hmm. And it keeps getting exposure more and more and more. But
absolutely.
So remember, everybody, go and see this exhibit. It opens January 28th, and it goes all the way through February 22nd. Go check it out in the University Gallery in the Art Building, and, you know, spread to your friends. Tell everybody to come. You won't miss out, I promise. But that's all we have for you today. Remember, check out all of our episodes on Podbean and iTunes, and we're trying to get the rest of our, you know, video companies onto the School of the Arts YouTube page. And, you know, send us in anything that you want on our social medias that you want to, you know, hear about. And we'll see you in the next episode.
This podcast has been brought to you by UNA School of the Arts, produced by Mark Gallegos and Lainey Green. Special thanks to Monica Collier and the SOTA staff.